my distortion of my experience of the challenge and challenge of every day, it recalibrated that to remind me that that was like, I don't know, 15% of the 100% pie of the amazingness that is happening. And when my view was corrected, right? When it went from like this very, very focused, like all the challenges, this is my job, I'm the leader, I've got to put out these fires, to, oh, right, this is the larger scope. Gosh, you can't replace that feeling.
Hello, hello. You are listening to Your Unapologetic Career. Being a woman of color faculty in academic medicine who wants to make a real difference with your career can be tough. Listen, these systems are not built for us, but that doesn't mean we can't make them work for us. In each episode, I'll be taking a deep dive into one core growth strategy so you can gain confidence and effectiveness in pursuing the dream career you worked so hard to achieve. All you have to do is tune in to Your Unapologetic Career with me, your host, Kemi Dole, physician, surgeon, researcher, coach, and career strategist, for an always authentic, sometimes a little raw, but unapologetically empowering word. I keep it real for you because I want you to win. Hello. So I get so many questions along the lines of, how can I work with you? You're changing my life and I want more of this. And if you fall into that category and you are a woman of color, faculty member in academic medicine, public health, or allied fields, then just keep listening. Listen, are you building the academic career you want or hard at work checking boxes on everyone else's to-do list? A successful career doing the work you love doesn't mean you have to sacrifice your values, your family, or your joy. Stop trying to be everything to everybody and get to learning the strategies that will 3x your productivity, hone your passions into funded projects, and create the career you worked so hard to achieve. If you've been to every career development and professional development workshop that sounded great, but didn't actually deal with the kind of institutional pressures you face. If you're working hard, but somehow stuck in inefficiency, putting everyone else's priorities first. If you spent years training and sacrificing to become academic faculty, and here you are still working nights and weekends on the projects you care most about, I'm here to tell you that you can walk away from this institutional mindset forever and take control of your career with clarity and strategy. Every day, I help women of color faculty of all career levels in academic medicine, like you, reframe and recreate their academic life so that they can channel their ideas, passions, and skills into grant-funded work with institutional support and sustainability. And that is why this episode is brought to you by Get That Grant, our six-month high-performance coaching program for high-achieving women of color faculty in academic medicine who are ready to reclaim career control and secure grant funding doing the work they love. In Get That Grant, we help you kick imposter syndrome to the curb for good, so you lead your career with clarity and confidence. You learn productivity and strategy skills for grants and papers to maximize your chances of success without wasting your time, abandoning your passion, or working yourself into the ground. We help you build the foundation for an amazing and fulfilling academic career, changing your life and the lives of everyone your work will touch. Yes, this future is possible for you, and it's waiting on you to make the first step. If you are ready for career success without sacrifice, I encourage you to join our waitlist at kemidole.com/grant. After you join the waitlist, you'll be notified when the next Get That Grant cohort will be enrolling. Your application process will include an in-depth career foundations assessment, helping you identify the gaps in your foundation that are holding you back from enjoying the career you worked so hard to achieve. No more secret worrying that the career you want isn't really possible. This career assessment will show you exactly where you need to focus to level up your experience and your impact. Join the waitlist today to get in line. Visit kemidole.com/grant to sign up. Talk to you soon.
Hello. I want to talk a little bit about how I go about protecting myself from a distorted view of the work that I do and of how I'm doing that work. What do I mean by a distorted view? So I think, gosh, this is why I've been reflecting on this. So recently in my day job, as a faculty member, as a researcher, you know, recently I convened along with my team, like basically two-day meeting of my flagship project. And so this is like a really big study that I care deeply about. It's like my heart displayed in my work 100%. And it's a huge endeavor undertaking. It's a randomized controlled trial at 10 different sites, at least around the country, all the entire thing designed around improving the lives of Black women diagnosed with endometrial cancer. So huge. In many, many ways, it's like first of its kind. It has like a million firsts behind it in terms of the level of funding, the scope, the focus on this community, et cetera, which is really exciting, super exciting. And for any of you who are not just high achievers, but who have put your passion, your values, your heart into your work, and you're in spaces where you have opened doors that have not been opened before, where you have broken ground, I'm not going to lie. It feels like there's something about being like the first. People are like, oh, she's the first. This is the first ever of its kind. You're like, brush your shoulders off. You know, you're like, yes, they said it wasn't possible. And here I am. So it feels really good, right? That feels really good. And then what you realize, or what I realize, I use I statements, right? So my experience has been, one, that's still true. That's really amazing. But the other thing that that literally means is that you're going to encounter a whole bunch of challenges that are also the first, right? You're going to encounter a whole bunch of unexpected twists, turns, things that you have to be thoughtful about, that you have to consider that are also firsts, right? Which means that in breaking ground and in doing like very innovative work, it's not like it would be nice if you are good at problem solving. Like it would be nice if you can stay steady in a storm. These are like absolute 100% required skills, because it's not just that it's hard. Of course it's hard. I mean, I certainly don't do my work expecting it to be easy in terms of this kind of work. What's easy is executing like my purpose in the world. What's easy is knowing that this is the work that I want to do. That's easy. I know why I'm here. But I don't do this expecting like, oh, everything's going to be super smooth, et cetera. So that's like not what I'm talking about. But the other thing is that when you are an innovator, when you are a groundbreaker, and when that's what you're desiring to do, it also means that it's not just that it's difficult. It's that the challenges that you face many times are new. They're new challenges. So it's hard, and you are potentially the first person kind of like dealing with those. So this is like a lot of words to say that it's difficult to constantly be not only innovating in delivering the work that you're doing, but innovating in solving problems, right? Innovating in navigating challenges, innovating in figuring out communication across teams of all sorts of different stakeholders, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know if this is coming across as like I'm the only person ever to have these problems. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that the experience of doing this particular project, like this work, in addition to a lot of other things I do, right? The experience of it has been challenge, but nourishing, right? It's been, wow, this is hard. This is exactly what I want to be doing. So that I'm cool with. And what happened was we really wanted to convene, like we wanted to convene the whole team. There were a lot of reasons to do so. So we decided we were going to have this two-day summit. And what was interesting is that there were multiple times leading up to this two-day summit where I was like, why are we doing this? I was like, why are we doing this? You know, there's like so many different variables. This is not like a requirement. It's like events always sound really great in theory. And then you're doing it and you're like, okay, I'm sorry. So who decided that we were planning a 2-day, like nearly 100 people invited hybrid in-person and virtual event? Oh my God. So all of that starts to set in, right? So I just want to be honest about the fact that on the way, it was just like, oh my gosh. And so then of course the event happens this past week. And of course it is wonderful. Oh my gosh. It was so, so, so rewarding. It was so meaningful. It was meaningful in, we were very intentional about what we set out to do. Like we were very intentional that these are the goals of this gathering, and to feel them like in process hit as they're happening, to feel it happening was amazing. And then it went above and beyond, right? And then it was even more connection, community, planning, laying the groundwork for the future than we even had planned. It was really amazing. And this is, I want to be really honest with this. This is the part where I was like, gosh, is this even necessary? Like leading in, a large part of it was celebration, right? A large part of this gathering together of all these people across all these different spaces in this study, this first of its kind, like ever kind of being done thing. A large part of this was just celebrating where we are, how far we've come over the course of about a year. And leading up to it, it felt very like, we doing a lot just to celebrate. Again, I'm keeping it 100 with y'all. Of course, during felt so good. And afterwards, I feel this, it's like a renewal in a new way, because it's a renewal that it's not rooted in duty, right? It's rooted in inspiration. It's rooted in like, oh, I'm so excited. I feel refreshed. It's like somebody just like doused you, if you were a plant, just doused you in water and sunshine. And you're like, let's go. I know I have work to grow, but like, I'm so ready. So that's how I feel. So why am I telling you this? Because it made me realize that one of the things that was operating on this larger scale, and then I'm going to bring it back to the smaller scale and how this happens to us day in and day out. One of the things that was operating here was this distortion where we naturally, because of the nature of doing research, being innovative, launching new programs, like being faculty members, we're trying to have these very purpose-driven careers, right? By that nature and by the nature of this project, most of what I need to focus on day in and day out are the challenges. That's what my job is as the leader of such a multifaceted effort that has a ton of potential and amazing actual impact right now, every day. What I have to focus on are the problems. I have to focus on the challenges. It's actually my job to deal with, okay, this thing happened. All right, what are we going to do? Okay, got to innovate a creative solution because once again, new problem, hasn't been faced before, etc. So that's just my very nature of like part of the job that I have to do. So I recognize that, no problem with it. But what happens, and this is going to come, it's going to tie back to the theme, I promise. So what happens when you're dealing with mostly challenges, right? When part of your job is not to avoid problems, y'all know I talk about that, not to pretend that they're not there, but to face problems head on and be innovative about your solutions because the work you're doing is worth it, because it's very purpose aligned, it's very values driven, the work that you're doing. When that is the case, your experience, if you think about it, your day-to-day experience is one of challenge, right? It's one of struggle in some ways, right? It could be struggle on behalf of something great, but it's still struggle. And especially when you're in a creative problem-solving space, you're often doing negotiation, right? You're often thinking, wow, this is where we wanted. This is the reality. Where do we meet in the middle? And when that is a consistent experience, it's very easy, right, for your reality to only consist of that, right? To only consist of the challenges and the compromises. The challenges and the compromises. And what happened to me over these past 2 days and what I realized so powerfully is how distorted that view was. Even though it was true to the experience of what I was focused on each day, it was a distortion of the overall actual work that I, and through my team by extension, are doing with this study. Like, oh my gosh, it was like I felt all over again. One, we have done a lot, like a lot. Like, yes, there are things that aren't online yet that I thought would be, but oh my gosh, the amount of things that were done in the amount of time is actually mind-blowing. Not to mention how many of these things are first, et cetera, et cetera. So what I want to say is that by taking this time to step aside as a whole team and really kind of put everything on pause and do this 2-day gathering, and again, deliberate celebration, it felt so ridiculous as I was coming in. I'm like, gosh, we really need to do this. What I realized on the other side is I can't even imagine, honestly. I mean, I can't imagine, but it makes me sad to think about how I would feel going into Monday. I would feel resolved and I would feel clear, but I would not have this total renewal of spirit that I feel right now without this experience, this 2-day summit we had, because it fixed my distortion of my experience of the challenge of every day. It recalibrated that to remind me that that was like, I don't know, 15% of the 100% pie of the amazingness that is happening. And when my view was corrected, right? When it went from this very, very focused, like all the challenges, this is my job, I'm the leader, I've got to put out these fires, to, oh, right, this is the larger scope. Gosh, you can't replace that feeling, right? You can't replace that feeling of accomplishment. And what's so crazy, it's not just like, ooh, I'm really excited, I celebrated. It's like, I'm not only that, I'm more clear going forward with the challenges that are coming. I'm more resolved about them. I feel more decisive. It literally feels like a renewal of spirit in so many ways. And so that's an example of distortion kind of on the larger scale, right? And what I hope you notice as I was just like talking is that that distortion, it wasn't fixed by, oh, everything's probably fine. Oh, like, what are you talking about? Oh, it's all good. Oh, of course it's hard. My favorite. Oh, of course it's hard. Like, that ever makes anybody feel better. Like, no, it was fixed by a reality check. And I mean that in a really positive way. It was fixed by getting the facts and recognizing, oh, this part that I have to be focused on because I'm the leader is such a tiny part to the whole picture. The solution to the distortion was taking time to celebrate. Totally counterintuitive. The solution to the distorted experience of challenge and compromise, not being exactly where I want to be, all the issues, all of that stuff. The solution to that was to stop and celebrate everything that had been done. That was the solution. So, how does this relate to our day-to-day? Because this is what we do all day, every day, all the time as faculty members. We are in these careers where we're the only person experiencing the career. There's all these different multifaceted pieces to our career, right? So if you're in academic medicine, you got your clinical role, you got your teaching role, you got your research that you're doing, you got your educational programmatic work you might be doing, you might have a leadership position, you got all of these different things. That leadership position could be a faculty oriented, it could be administrative oriented, it'd be clinical oriented, you got all these different things going on. And you're the only person doing them all. That's it, you're the only person. And no offense to anybody else, I'm talking to my high achievers here. Let's just say, if you're anything like me, if you're anything like a high achiever, what also happens is that in each one of those spaces, you're doing great. In each one of those spaces, you're doing great. Great, amazing clinician. Oh my God, best teacher. Love this lecture. Blah, blah, blah. Research, doing great. Getting funding, getting the grant. She's got great ideas, right? So in each one of those lanes, you are doing it on the outside, right? Your experience, if that's the case, especially if you're a woman of color, especially if you're a Black woman, academic faculty member, medicine or public health, allied field, and I know a lot more of you resonate with these things. Your experience, though, is that because you are likely having to innovate in one, two, three, or all of those spaces, is that you are constantly dealing with new challenges and having to create solutions. You are constantly setting out for some kind of goal, and then realizing more information that you didn't have, and then adjusting and recalibrating, right? That's your job to do. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, my whole thing is like, please don't run away from issues. Actually confront them so you can be creative about solutions. But you are doing that a lot when you have a marginalized perspective, when you're coming from the outside in, when you're a Black woman in these spaces, you are constantly doing that kind of problem solving, that kind of approaching challenges, setting out in courage. And that means that your experience day to day has a really high vulnerability to this distortion. This distortion that says, I'm not getting where I want to go. I'm not as far as I'm supposed to be. It's all challenge. It's all difficulty. I haven't been able to do X. I haven't been able to do Y. Even if my work is purpose aligned, even if on the outside it looks great, my experience is of struggle, 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 struggle. And so I want you to come back. One, if you feel that way, you're normal. There's nothing wrong with you. If you feel that way and you think somehow other people, they're like just doing fine, they're like coasting, but like I'm the only one who's struggling, I want to let you know there's only two possibilities. One, that's not true. There's only two possibilities. One, if they're coasting, girl, they're not doing what you're trying to do. They're not doing what you're trying to do. Stop looking at somebody riding a bike while you're riding a unicycle and being like, wow, it looks easy. They're not doing what you're trying to do. So stop comparing their ease to your ease. Stop doing that. If you've got bigger dreams, if what you're trying to do is more complicated, if what you're trying to do is more innovative, you're choosing to work with the marginalized community that nobody can reach. You're choosing to tackle the problem that's existed for 40 years. That's me over here. Existed for decades and decades. That nobody's done anything about. When you're choosing to do that, you can't compare. You cannot compare the challenges in the path set out for you to Johnny over there, who's walking a well-worn path, okay? That is like copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste. You can't do that. I mean, you can do that, but it's just not pleasant. So one, I would recommend, like, please don't do that. Just stop doing that right now. It doesn't help you at all. But the second thing is that if you look and you're like, wow, this person has it so much easier, and they're also navigating all these new paths, whatever, I'll just have to tell you, like, you don't know anything about their life. Just stop doing it. You have no idea what they're going through. You have no idea what struggle they might be under. And ultimately, that view, that comes from, again, this distorted experience when you're doing a lot of problem solving and setting and, like, trying to deal with daily challenges, etc. So I want to acknowledge that, you know, I talk a lot about lies, right? This isn't a lie. I'm deliberately using this word distortion, right? I'm deliberately using that word because the problem is it's too narrow of a filtering, because we are spending so much of our time and our worry around the problems and challenges. And then let's just acknowledge the things we know about being human. We focus more on the negative than the positive, right? You get 100 lovely comments, one person has a critique, and that's all you think about, right? So you add on that, and it's really easy to see how, again, from an experiential standpoint, day in and day out, you can have a pretty distorted view of your own work. You can have a pretty distorted view of your own productivity, of how much I've gotten done, when we're only focused on the thing that we haven't gotten done, right? So just like where we started here on the larger level with what I said your solution is, the solution is the same. And now you can feel how, like, extremely counterintuitive it can feel, but it's true and it's real. The solution to that kind of distortion is deliberate celebration. Deliberate celebration. And when I say deliberate, a lot of times, especially in our multifaceted lives, right? In these faculty lives where there's like a million things going on. To me, when something is deliberate, it means it has structure around it. That's what that means. When I say deliberate, I mean, I'm putting structure around this thing because I want it to happen. Because I don't know about y'all, but if I want something to happen and I'm absolutely sure of it, the Monday morning starts open in the email inbox, like walk into the hospital or the office or whatever on campus. And if you don't have a structure for that thing that you want to happen, good luck. It's like playing the lottery, right? Because there's just too much chaos. There's too many things that could happen. So when I say deliberate celebration, I mean structure. I mean structure around it. And so just similar to how we did with my project, where it's like we stepped aside and did like 2 days basically of like structured reflection and celebration along with other things, we can do that on a small level. And this is what I do on a small level in our day to day, in our week to week, to help prevent us from the same vulnerability to that distortion. And I care about this so much because this distorted view of like, it's all challenge, I'm not making any progress, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. I'm so empathetic to this because, again, a lot of times it's coming because you're an innovator. It's coming because you're choosing to work with the people who really need you. It's coming because this place was not built for you. This racist, sexist institution wasn't built for you. It's coming because you're first generation, because it's different for you. So that's why it's happening. That's why, again, I'm so empathetic to it, and I'm emphasizing it probably ad nauseum right now, because I really want us to understand that it's not a deficiency. There's nothing wrong with you, but you can start to see yourself and your own productivity and your own progress through a deficient lens if you don't balance this distortion, this fact that you do have to deal with challenge You do. And I know you want to. I know you're like, I'm up for it because I love my work. I know you want to, but you have to be able to balance that with structured celebration. So you don't start making decisions out of the distorted view that I'm not making any progress. When you are in that distorted view that I'm not doing what I've set out to do, I'm not making any progress, when you're in that distorted view and you start making decisions, you make terrible decisions. Terrible. You tell people that you have time that you don't because you're looking for a quick win, because you can't see all of the incremental wins along the way. So you will loan out time that you don't have. You will loan out energy you don't have. You will give people an audience with you who do not deserve one, who you have no business spending your time and energy with. You will do this looking for quick wins, looking for validation. You will back away from some of your most innovative, powerful, transformational ideas because you can't see the progress in them. This is the risk. This is why I'm passionate about this. This is why I do not want us to take this as the status quo. Yes, there is challenge. There's challenge because you're doing work that matters. There's challenge because you want to do it in a way that is meaningful. There's challenge because you're not interested in being a martyr because you want to balance this out with the rest of your life. Yes, there's challenge. And we do not want to make decisions out of a distorted experience of only challenge, of only struggle. Thus, structured celebration. So, for example, in my community, in our Get That Grant coaching community, we do structured weekly celebration on purpose every single Friday. What are we celebrating this Friday? What are you celebrating that happened this week, that you did this week? What's something deliberate that you chose to do this week that you accomplished, that you made progress on, an award that you got? It doesn't matter what it is. It could be balancing your energy all week. It could be holding boundaries against somebody who sucks your energy dry all week. It doesn't matter what it is. But when you are forced, I'm just going to use the word, when you're forced, right, to celebrate every week, when you have structure around that, it's not just about the moment of like, I finished my revisions on this paper. It's not about that. I mean, yes, that's great. First of all, brilliance, like the things that we will minimize. We're like, oh, I finished revisions on a paper. I'm sorry. So you did a project, you did a new intellectual project, you contributed to the literature, then you wrote it up, you took what was up here, put it out onto the page in a coherent way, and then you took feedback on it, then you got critiques, then you incorporated those, and then incorporated the revisions appropriately. Like, again, we'll collapse all of that down into like one throwaway line, like breaks my heart. But anyway, it's not just about celebrating whatever that one little thing or sometimes big thing is. That's important. And you want to be able to do that in community. That's important. But it's also about the balance, right? It's about recreating your experience to be more in balance. So that, yes, you probably dealt with challenges. Yes, you probably had compromises over the week in terms of the goals that you set and where you got. And again, we also work on that. So that happens like less and less and less often that you feel like, well, I set out to do this productivity wise and I only made it 30% of the way. Well, yes, of course, we're going to work on that. So you can be hitting more like 80, 100% week in, week out. But also, even if you're going to hit 30% for the rest of your career, that 30% is not nothing. And if we don't learn how to be able to see that as incremental progress along the way, if we don't learn how to balance out the daily experience with structured celebration, we put ourselves in a position where at default, y'all, at default, you will be making decisions from a place of distortion. Please, please, please don't do this. And what's beautiful is that, like, it's not that hard. It's not that hard to start the balance, right? You don't have to go buy something. You don't have to change who you are. You don't even have to be inauthentic. You just have to give yourself another kind of structure, which is structured celebration. So I really encourage you to think about this on the small level, on the daily, on the weekly level, but also on the larger level. You got a big multi-year project. When's the last time you absolutely stopped and celebrated every single thing that has happened to date? All of the problems that you solved, right? All of the disasters that you avoided, the disasters that you didn't avoid, but you navigated through appropriately. Again, I just want to acknowledge that, like, the reason why I was leading up to like this summit that we just had, and like, I was honestly having some feelings like, gosh, do we really need to do this? Like, we're planning to celebrate. I mean, because again, I just want to be really honest. I was having those feelings. You will have these feelings week in and week out when you're like, okay, I got to celebrate something. Like, do you know what happened this week? Like, what am I celebrating? That is from the norms of our institutions and the norms of academic medicine, public health, and probably other fields, culture, where like nothing matters until it's like tangible, big win, grant funded, paper accepted, promotion gotten, like basically nothing matters but those things. That's a vestige of that kind of culture, right? Where this is the only thing that matters. These are the only things that we place value on, which of course is ridiculous, right? Because you can't actually get to those things without all the incremental wins along the way. So if we accept that culture as default, what we're saying is, oh, I'm just going to be miserable until my grant actually gets funded. A process that could take anywhere from, you know, 6 months to 2-3 years. I'll be miserable that entire time. And then once the grant's funded, I get to be happy for, I don't know, what do y'all think? 3 hours? 30 minutes? Until the next goalpost gets put in front of you and said, oh, well, now that's funded. When are you going to get the next one? Oh, when are you going to get the next level, right? Oh, well, that's funded. When's the paper going to come out? The goalpost always moves. So if we accept the default, especially coming in as women of color, especially coming in from the outside in, if we accept that as default, and we're working in that as default, it's no wonder why your experience is only that of challenge and frustration and not getting where you want to be. That is how the default is set up to happen. Like, that's what you'll get if you don't decide to create structures that counter those things. So this is just one example of why it's so important to take ownership of your career and to literally create structures to balance out the effects of the default culture and the default system. And why do you do this? Well, you know, I've got a lot of podcast episodes about this, but the bottom line is if you're here because this is the work that you love, academics is where your heart is, this is where you want to be, you love to write, you love to research, you love to teach, this is where you are, then I want to tell you that you get to take ownership of your experience by creating structures that balance out the norms of distortion and toxicity of the fields that we're in. But yeah, structured celebration. And what I encourage you to do is as you start to try this out, right? As you start to try this out, recognize that if you feel resistance around, if you're like, this feels like, Kemi, really? Like, that's normal. I felt the same way myself. That's what's so crazy is that wild. Didn't mean to say crazy. That's what's so wild. To me, the way I think of it, that is actually the power of the very subpar culture, right? Is that it makes you feel odd for taking time to celebrate yourself. Just pause and consider that for a second. Working in a culture that makes you feel odd for pausing to celebrate yourself, to celebrate your progress, to celebrate your small wins. That's what we're dealing with. So I say that because I encourage you to do it in community. This is why my coaching programs are group programs. Believe me, y'all, I get asked all the time, like, believe me. I get asked this, I'll be like, oh, one-on-one, like, why do you do group? Why do you do group? It is a deliberate choice, deliberate. I've done it both ways. And what I know about my people, women of color, faculty in academic medicine and public health, is that we need community. And we don't need any community. We need to be able to create the kind of community that we always deserved, where you can celebrate in community, you can be seen in community. When your default experience is isolation, it's only because we're so used to being alone that we would think that the solution is to be more alone. Like, well, let me be alone in my growth. Like, no, girl, no. The solution is actually to open yourself up and realize what is it actually like to grow in nurturing and welcoming soil. Oh my God. I mean, I get chills just thinking about it. Do you know how different you are? Do you know the pace? You know how different the pace of growth is when you are in nurturing soil, when you're around other people who are growing, when you're in an authentic space, when you can see examples of what celebration looks like, when you start to see your experiences mirrored in others. Let me tell you something. The fog clears. That was a total aside. But that is why. That's why they're group coaching programs. And honestly, I think that's why a lot of the times we ask our clients, like, well, you know, what was so surprising for you? Whatever. Like, and people are like, I was just shocked that I could get so much help in this format. It like still shocks me. And then they tell me, like, what's like so helpful? And they're like, they're not like Kemi. They're like the community, right? Like ego check. They're like the community. Why? Because it's curated. Why? Because there's a very clear curriculum. It's not pulled out of thin air. And we're also not just meeting being like, we're celebrating today. No, there's thoughtfulness all around it. It's not just about the structured celebration, right? It's also about the productivity, right? Getting that 30% up to 80, 90%. It's not just about talking about boundaries. It's about learning how to actually create them so that they make sense for you, et cetera, et cetera. That's like a whole nother thing. I don't want to go too far that way, but I just wanted to share because I just had such a profound experience. And I talk about, I'm learning all the time. Like I'm relearning all of the time. Like I had that episode. It was like things I relearned today. Like I'm constantly relearning and I'm still honestly reverberating from this experience of deliberate celebration on an even larger scale. And when I see the ripple effects, when I feel them in myself and I see all the comments and I see the emails coming through and I'm just like, wow, I'm so glad I did this. I'm so glad I pushed through the resistance. I'm glad that we did something that felt inconvenient. Like I'm a very efficiency oriented person. So I'm like, I'm sorry, like, what are we doing? How are we doing it quickly? How are we doing it with the least drama? Like, I am efficiency oriented. So when you talk about structured celebration, I'm like, girl, can we finish the project? Then we celebrate, right? Shout out to anybody who can relate. It's like, what are we doing? That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm coming on to share this with you all, because it's not something that came to me easily either, right? It's not something that was like a default for me either. But you know what I do believe in? I believe in effectiveness. I believe in things that work, right? Everything that's in my coaching program is like, this is what I believe in, right? Like I can be a woo-woo girl, but like when we talk about like, what am I spending my energy doing? Things that work. And that's why I wanted to come on to share, because even though sometimes it's also weird for me and it's also not something that's natural for me, it works. Structured celebration to balance the distortion. So you not only balance your experience, I actually think you come up with better solutions to your problems because you're not coming from a place of scarcity. You're not coming from a place of feeling like I just can't get it together. You're coming with an actually realistic and actually accurate view of what you've been able to do, what you've been able to accomplish, and what's left over. And that's the place where our best decisions come from. That's the place where our high quality decisions come from. So that's another reason. All right, I've given you a few. If you are in a leadership position, how do you structure your team meetings and where do you have time for celebration in those meetings? Because again, what are you doing in meetings? Dealing with problems, dealing with issues. Like there's multiple layers to this. And I'm such a deep believer that most of the leadership skills that we see lacking in academic medicine, and oh my God, do they run rampant? Most of those things we see lacking, those, I think, start from a lack of the same self-leadership skills, right? The same kinds of things that we need to learn how to do for ourselves, like assess what's happening with our resistance around a project. Where's the emotion coming in? What are we making it mean? Like, how are we dealing with others? How are we dealing with boundaries with our work? What is our standards for letting people in the door as collaborators versus not? How are we thinking about the project and productivity and the structure around getting it done for ourselves, right? How are we leading ourselves through our careers? We're the only people having the career that we're having. So all of those are self-leadership skills. And I think what happens when people move into leadership positions and they haven't done any of this work is that all of that just comes out, right? Because all of a sudden you're doing the same thing with other human beings. So it's a lot more complicated. But if you never learned your boundaries, how do you manage your energy? How do you think about the highs and the lows of a team and their journey? Like how you manage your time and how you think about that and how you have to interplay with other people. If you don't ever did it, how are you going to do it as a leader? Oh my God, I'm just going to start ranting. I don't want to start ranting. But I am just saying that like in many ways, I think One of the things that I'm really committed to is changing the experience of Black women, especially, and women of color, faculty in academic medicine and public health. I want to change your experience day to day. I want to give you tools so that you can navigate this whole space to the way that you want to. I want to give you tools so you can see your work realized in the world. I know your work matters to you. I want to give you tools so you can actually enjoy this career that you worked so hard to get to, right? And the other thing that I understand now, I'm understanding at a deeper and deeper and like stronger level, is that when this happens and when you get these tools and when you learn and when you make these reset and these like reframes and when you step out on courage and when you choose to do things differently and when you recognize I have to build different structures around myself to get to where I want to go and to do it happily, right? To do it with joy. When you do that, you also are becoming a rare and treasured person in our fields because you are becoming a high quality leader too. And we need so many more of those. All right. That's what I wanted to share with y'all today. Thank you for spending some time with me. Please remember that sometimes it's not huge things. Sometimes it's not expensive things. Sometimes it's not schedule changing, upside down, inverting things that change our experience. Sometimes it's the small things that we choose deliberately to do every day or every week, that those tiny things also make a huge difference. Because every time we choose to do them, every time we are exercising the muscle that says, this career is mine and I will have it on my terms. And I believe that I can create the career that I actually want. And every time you exercise that muscle, the return on investment is always, always, always positive.
Hello, I'm coming through to remind you that we are starting a listener letter segment on the Your Unapologetic Career podcast. Write in with questions that you have. You can ask me anything. I will decide what I want to answer. You can bring forth challenging situations or suggest topics you might want to hear more about. To do that, you can reach me at podcast@kdolcoach.com. That's podcast@kdolcoach.com with your questions. Please note if you'd like to be anonymous, and I will always do my best to keep you so. Excited to hear from y'all.